It wasn't even like.
Do you know that bird?
No.
Get better.
She saw the sign, she was trying to use the business card, it's not gonna work the next time.
Joe at work.
Doesn't matter who they are.
We're watching our eyes.
Second or third time I've done it, third or fourth time.
Oh, yeah, you're.
It ain't no big deal, I'm just not Richard.
Who is?
We're going through that, this thing right now.
Get you guys out of here in about 10 minutes.
Who's the budget spent?
It's 2:00, July 19th, 2023, regular commission meeting, Port of Brookings Harbor. Pledge of allegiance will be first.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Danielle.
Larry.
Here.
Sharon.
Here.
Joe.
Here.
Richard is absent.
Can you call in?
He did not call in, would you like to give him a?
Modifications, additions, changes to the agenda. There's two updates, action item C and action item D.
Yeah, so action item C, the last page, the last paragraph was labeled as conclusion. Was added to this, just some more language that our attorney wanted us to add. And then the resolution is just updated from, after receiving it from our attorney, they added some extra language to it.
Thanks, Travis. Declarations of potential conflicts of interest? Anyone?
No.
Okay. Approval of the agenda?
Oh, a motion to approve the agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, a motion by Larry and a second from Sharon. Approval of meeting, Vino.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes. Okay. Approval of meeting minutes?
Motion to approve the meeting minutes. Wednesday, June 21st.
And the budget hearing.
And the budget hearing meeting of June 21st.
Second.
Okay, Larry, approval of the meetings and Sharon's second. Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes. Any public comments, Danielle?
I did not receive any public comments.
Okay. Management and financial reports and approval.
Okay. The RV park staff completed a full-scale cleanup at the RV park. Work included mowing, weeding, and swept the beachfront walkway and swept parking aisles for restriping. All park employees had a meeting in late June to discuss staffing for the 4th of July and setup that will be needed prior to the event. Marina dock walks and boat inventory were completed weekly throughout the month. During the dock walk, staff came upon a vessel that sank overnight. Employees were able to use port equipment and to lift the vessel from the water. Oil booms were deployed for environmental safety, but throughout the lift, there were no releases of any fluids. The owner and insurance company were notified and an incident report was created. Port received new modems for our Santa Sailors, and are being installed and will be up and running by mid-July, which I think they are up and running now. The bumper for the Aquina was put out at the steel wall, and we should expect to see them dredge for some time, and dredging until sometime in late June or early July. On that note, they are here right now, and they are expected to finish up by Sunday. So hopefully they can get everything done by then. Equipment services, telehandler, there were 7 jobs done. Travel lift haul outs, there were 7. commercial receiving dock, all docks are open and operational for the exception of Borenstein's hoist, which has been removed for channel dredging. Pacific Seafood did report a section of concrete where the lower dock two sections joined together that is deteriorating. Port staff used the steel pile to bridge the damage area until a later date. Commercial retail building, one new lease was created for Checo Dustless Blasting. Finalized letter of intent and began working on ground lease for Brookings Real Estate LLC. RV show went well with no problems to report. They did have a good turnout and we hope to have them back again. All outlets were checked on the boardwalk for summer events. Maintenance crew completed 97 work orders for the month of June. Most work for staff concentrated on groundwork, weeds under the boardwalk, parking stall painting, new catch basin tops, and concrete poured for new craft class storage area. The office staff continues to run smoothly. They do have the significant task sheets that are attached. And then I went ahead and added FEMA and wastewater treatment plant just to kind of give you guys a monthly update of what's going on. We received updated quotes for clamshell dredging and approved Billiter Marine to complete the work. Procured and ordered a tractor for the dredging project, and we revised the quote on the DRP 120 dredge and option list along with other comparable dredges. Wastewater treatment plant, ongoing permit discussion with DEQ and EPA on discharge limits specifically to heavy metals. Port received reimbursement payment for payment request number one for engineering and planning. Matching fund waiver is still under review by the EPA. JPA, which is the joint permit application, was signed by Curry County, is now going to the Corps of Engineers and Department of State Lands for review and approval.
Thanks, Travis. Any questions?
Richard is online, just so everyone knows, and it's on record. And then, are you ready for my safety report?
Yes.
Port staff discussed IT safety and upcoming events for June and July. The port reported four incidences for the month of June, bringing the year total to 26. They were pretty minor stuff, and Travis went over the big stuff. Four ACEs security, and the port recorded 59 security issues for the month of June, mainly overnight parking, a few tickets in the boat launch area. Monthly inspections were completed as required by our stormwater pollution control plan. And our upcoming events, we do have an event happening July 22nd and 23rd. That's the Bigfoot Blues Fest on the boardwalk. And in August, we have Art on the Coast, August 5th and 6th, and Pirate Festival, August 10th through the 13th.
Okay, any questions?
No.
I just have one. Travis, did I had the same run-in Kyle did with those guys. Did Willie Gergen or anyone contact you over that? Okay, I just wanted to
know.
No, I told him.
You did, but that was the only person that did.
All right.
I made an incident report regarding that encounter that we talked about.
Okay. All right, and let's see. We need approval of...
let's do April.
Oh, sorry, guys. Report.
Financial.
I got you.
So the financial report for the month of June 2023, our unrestricted cash and equivalents totaled $458,275. Our restricted cash and equivalents totaled $572,460, with our total checking and savings of $1,077,426. Our total revenue for funds was $422,008. Our total expenses was $408,415, and our net income for June was $13,594. As of right now, our supplemental budget numbers have not been entered. I just got the clearance from our financial advisor to bring that up to date. So these percentages will change, and I'll bring them to you next month. But for now, our total income was 62.9%, with general fund revenues at 92.8%. Our total expenditures for all funds was 52.4%, and our general fund expenditures was at 86.1%. I've included all the reports, balance sheets, and performance sheets, et cetera, at the back of the report. Any questions?
Good job.
Good job, guys. A motion for management and financial reports.
I have a question about one of the reports. So we have in the packet all the reports from your staff and everything, and we have a new manager, but we don't have a report of that manager. So are we going to be having some kind of report on how that person is proceeding?
You're not, so in my, report in the back where under significant tasks completed by our staff, April, all of our office staff create one. And Gary's is attached. He's our project manager.
Where is that? Thank you. I see that now. Thank you. I'm glad to see it's in there. I'll make a motion to accept the management and the financial report as given.
Second. Okay, we've got a motion from Sharon and a second from Larry.
Larry.
Daniel.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Okay, action items. A, Brookings Real Estate lease agreement.
Okay. So after some back and forth and ironing this lease out, we have, are there any questions? Did anybody actually read the whole thing?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Was
there any questions that arose from it? You know, the significant things, like as I stated, is the $25,000 approval to do any improvements without court approval. And that number will increase 3% every year just because of inflation. So that number will grow. And subleasing will be allowed as long as once the court receives the information about the who is subleasing, but he will be allowed to sublease if he wants to.
Richard has a question.
Yes, Richard.
I don't have a question. Are you ready to talk about the lease itself?
If you yes, definitely. If you have any comments or questions, let me know.
I do have comments. My comments are that, you know, this is a 25-year lease. This is a long time. I understand the rationale. I'm just making sure that everybody understands we are setting some precedent here. The other part of the precedent that I think we're setting in this lease is that the lessee becomes the owner of that building after the improvements are completed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But at the end of the lease, the improvements will stay with the building. So 25, there is an option to renew for an additional 25 after that. So there could be up to a 50-year term with them that exists. His intentions are to extend a lot of money towards that building, including power upgrades, running the new water line across the street. So there's going to be a substantial cost that he's putting into this to make this work. So that's also a big factor in why the lease term is so long, is because of the amount of money that's being invested into the building.
Okay, I got that. I just wanted to make sure that we discussed that on the record so that it's clear what we're doing here. So those are my comments at this time.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
So, Travis, under the sublet part, I believe that the lawyer has written it up where we're very protected as to we can make the decision whether or not to allow certain types of businesses.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's why any subletting will have to come back to the point for the approval, if it is, but it is allowing for that option to happen.
Yeah, it's a pretty tight lease.
So in the motion, you'll see that I'm waiting for the legal description of the property and the insurance. I should have any time now. The legal description is also another thing that we put on him to have defined there. So he is hiring his own surveyor. We're giving him the information. So he's currently working on that, and we're expected to have this before August 1st. So.
Are we about through with legal costs on dealing with this?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Ready for a motion?
Sure.
Motion to approve the ground lease agreement between the Port of Brookings Harbor and Brookings Real Estate LLC, dated August 1, 2023, pending the port manager's receipt of legal description of the premises and satisfactory proof of insurance for Brookings Real Estate LLC.
Second.
Okay, a motion from Larry and a second from Sharon. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
All right, action item B. WWTP DEQ permit fee.
So we're at the point after many reviews with Jack doing his own process and back and forth with EPA and DEQ refining the permit parameters and the equipment that he plans on using in it. DEQ has given us their kind of blessing and okay that they think that we have a reasonable plan for us to turn in the permit and the application to start the permit and annual fee process. This is obviously it's a $17,000 application fee. It's a almost $9,000 annual permit fee. It does take 4 to 6 months for them to review it. We still haven't heard back from our cost share waiver. It has just taken a long time, and we keep being told they're reviewing it still. So given the point where we've done all this work up to this point, I would like to submit the application fee and the annual permit fee so they can get started on reviewing this permit. I will be very hesitant on bringing anything else to you guys for the wastewater treatment plant before we figure out the cost share waiver. If the permit review was shorter, I wouldn't do it right now, but being this 4 to 6 months, it's in our interest of moving forward with the wastewater treatment plant to turn this in.
Is there any way to expedite their review? Sometimes you can pay a fee to get an expedite.
There will be not with this. It takes a very long time, and every agency that I've been dealing with through all of our projects are moving very slow right now as it is. So all times given, and it's taking even a little bit longer sometimes. So given this, I think we need to get this turned in so they can start reviewing it, and we can iron out anything else that their review might come up with. And during that process, we should hear from we should hear very shortly, but I'm hesitant to say that too, about the cost share waiver, because if we don't get it, you know, it's not a deal breaker, but there might still be more negotiations of us responding to why maybe there was something or difference of communication in that, and/or we need to stop and find where the matching funds are going to come from. So during that 4 to 6 month process, I hope to have our matching funds figured out, and then the permit should be approved, and then we can start moving forward.
How long before we find out about the matching funds?
Well, we send emails weekly trying to figure out the answer.
Not a timeline.
The timeline was supposed to be months ago. And they're not good with responses, or the responses have been very limited. We are still reviewing it. The last one was that they understand our frustration, which actually, did I put that with it? Yeah. So, and the third page of it was July 7th that I got an email back from them. Our email to them was a frustrated email of why we haven't heard it. So they said they will continue to monitor the status of our waivers. So aside from that, I don't really know what else to do other than wait.
So Travis, wasn't there some talk about waiving this cost share?
That's what I'm waiting on this approval for. When we filled this stuff out, we qualified out of 8 of the 9 criteria that they had, and the only reason we qualify for the 9th one is because there's a lack of census data for our area. But 8 out of the other 9, and we only had to hit one of them to qualify for it. So
the engineering is reimbursable, so this does not fall in that category as well?
As of right now, everything that we're being reimbursed for is at 75%. So,
okay.
You know, once we turn in this permit application and do this, we'll submit this to EPA, we'll get 75% of it back. But until we hear about the cost share waiver, if we do get the cost share waiver, we take everything we've submitted to EPA, submit it back to them, they approve it, and then give us the other 25%.
Okay. Thank you.
If not, we do, remember, have the money from the property sale. There's about $175,000 that we will immediately be able to pull off from that to reimburse us for the money's already spent, but then we'll have to figure out what the rest of it's going to be.
Exactly. Thank you.
Do you have any comments, Richard?
I do not. I mean, other than to share the frustration with everybody else, I think how long this is taking, I think that proceeding at this point with the fee application or the application fee makes sense.
One other thing that I did do today is I reached out to Ray Bouchard, who is the Port's federal relations person that Monday I'll be talking to kind of see what avenues legislatively or through him that can be done to, I don't want to completely poke them real hard, but I'm just wondering if we can get anybody else involved to see what this hang up is, what's going on.
Okay.
Daniel?
Two questions. One, the approximately $9,000 annual fee, if I understand that correctly, that's something that we will have to pay every year once this plant is operational, correct?
Yep.
So, and not meaning to, I'm sorry, Brent, I'm not meaning to pick on your company, but is that something that Pack Choice will be reimbursing the port for every year?
It will be something that's figured into the lease that's made with them while it's up and running, yes.
Okay, and then my second question. In the emails, one of them from the DEQ mentions the outfall pipe being moved further out for the mixing zone. Where is the current outfall proposed to be?
In the exact same place as that right now.
Which is underneath the dock? And how far is EPA in their DEQ, in their interest have expressed that mixing zone pipe to be moved to?
They have said that in the future it might be something we want to consider, especially if discharge amounts keep going up. But given our current mixing zone that we have, they feel like it's adequate. They might be making it a little bit longer throughout the dock to help disperse it. But currently right now where we're at is DEQ feels like we have the proper mixing zone to be able to do it. They have recommended moving it out though.
How far out have they said?
well, the channel in the river, possibly even into the ocean, but, you know, like they said and what we've said is that's financially not feasible right now to do. So we need to explore our options currently with discharging into the area that we have, the estuary where we have right now, and current calculations and what DEQ, and that's part of the reason why DEQ has allowed us to turn in the permit, is that they feel like the mixing will be adequate for that, for this discharge. But future improvements and upgrades might require us to move that discharge.
Roy?
I have a question. Well, probably something for Jack Aiken, but he's mentioned several different types of plants. Number one, what type of plant was it that we're going to propose to put in? And number two, have we changed the location of that plant from over there where you had it by the tanks, the gas tanks? Have you changed that location and why?
We changed the location to move it closer to the plant that cuts down on piping and puts everything closer to the water.
And it's a smaller footprint.
And it also goes hand in hand with our FEMA project that we're doing, that we're using that area for a dredge disposal site. So it all made sense for us to move it. The dredge disposal site got moved closer to the tanks for multiple reasons, but it keeps it farther away from the houses and the above. And the hotel that's right there, it just crams everything down farther and creates our discharge point for that closer to the water.
So are there going to be sludge tanks or tanks? Settling ponds put down in that area then, or
for the
first one was have settling ponds, now they're not?
The settling ponds will not happen.
Okay, so it's a different type.
It is a modular.
We've talked about quite a few different types.
Yeah, it is a modular type building, different units that are set up using different types of equipment, and I'm not going to, I don't know what all of it's called, but it drastically reduces the footprint. There still will be sludge, of course, that's produced, but it's pushed through a machine and into a contained unit to where it can be hauled off to a local landfill.
Okay. It's taken away some of the dock space there that we may need in the future. I don't know, you know, down in that area, because that's valuable property down there.
And, yep.
Very valuable.
Yep.
For being close to the docks.
Well, this will actually create more dock space for us by using this funding to create a wastewater treatment plant.
Just quick. So you're saying move it beside the plant, which, okay. Then what about putting it back behind the plant between the roadway and the cold storage, and that way leaving all that dock footage available? I mean, you're not changing that much difference in piping for anything at that point.
Have you guys seen the footprint that we're planning on using over there?
Other than it's on the wall, I have not seen the footprint.
Okay, we have a new footprint that still allows access for the dock space, the condemned dock that's out there at Pacific Seafood. It will fix and put that dock back as operational. Where currently Brett houses his propane tank and one freezer thing, and behind the cold storage where is generally used right now for a roadway to cross between the ice house and the plant and some occasional crab pot storage, that's the area we'll be using.
Wasn't that dock condemned at one time in that area?
It had to be rebuilt.
To be rebuilt?
It will be fixed and open for use.
Oh, okay. It will
through
be.
This money. Yes, it will be.
So where do we see this map at that you have there? Do we have it? Do you have
it? I don't have it with me, but come into the office and I'd be happy to give it to you.
I'd love to get it. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Yes.
One other on that, Travis. Did I hear right? Brett pays to have his recycled or recycled waste. He pays to have it dumped, truck someplace else. And with this wastewater treatment plant, same procedure. We're going to have to take that waste to pay somebody to haul it away.
Yeah. No matter what, with this processing in any wastewater treatment plant, no matter how you do it, there's going to be a waste that's accumulated from it. You can't get away from it.
Right.
That's what we're trying not to put back in the water. So currently, you know, we haven't, I don't want to say too much yet about what Pacific Seafood is going to be responsible for because we haven't gone down that road yet. However, Pacific Seafood is aware that the port plans on not running this. We are leasing, we're going to be leasing it. The port's not going to be running this operation. So we will be collecting money off from this equipment, and the operation and the repairs, the maintenance, the haul off, all that stuff will be handled by someone else.
Okay. And fish processing only?
Fish processing only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the board has made multiple motions refining that and making sure that that's said. I have said it. So that is what its intended use and its purpose is going to be for.
Okay. Thank you, Travis. Appreciate that. Oh, go ahead, Larry.
In my understanding, I'm just looking for a confirmation, is that Jack has pretty much narrowed this down and is ready to make a final recommendation. We're basically waiting for all these permits and everything we need from all these other agencies to be finalized before Jack says, here's what we're going to do.
Yes, I mean, before... right now, we've, you know, we started with the system, we refined it. He's, you know, spent a lot of time going back and forth with all these regulatory agencies, taking each one of their concerns into consideration and changing and, you know, making things what they have to do. The recent one that we came upon over discharge is copper. And most of the copper is coming from our drinking water that exceeds our levels. So, you know, those are things that are a constant moving target, and everything that they do is preliminary on paper what should work. And once everybody's kind of giving their blessing on it, we can make sure that this is what we want. And by us turning in this permit to DEQ, it's because DEQ has already given us their go-ahead that they're confident enough to start reviewing what we have.
Guys, ready for a motion?
Richard, go ahead. To make sure I understand this, Travis, my understanding is when we submit this application, it will have in it a full and complete description of the plant, the treatment process, and everything that's going to occur. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, it will refine. Once they approve it, it will tell us that what we have picked out is what we're going to use, that it will work. It's kind of just, you know, DEQ is going to be our, and the EPA will be our double check before everything's stamped final and approved and buying equipment to make sure that all the regulatory agencies are happy with our design that we've proposed.
Okay, well, I wanted to make sure that we understood that we have selected a process and a plant, and that's going to be submitted, and then it will be subject to their review.
Yes.
Cool.
Thanks, Richard. All right. You guys ready for a motion?
Are you?
Yeah.
You want to
sure.
Motion to approve submitting NPDES, National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, permit to DEQ with application fee in the amount of $17,611 with an annual permit in the amount of $8,974 for the Port of Brookings Harbor Waste Water Treatment Plant.
Second.
All right, we got a motion from Larry and a second from Sharon. Go ahead, Daniel.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
This is Richard, and voting yes, I want to make clear to everybody that this is the first affirmative action we've made on this plant after the design. So this is a big step, and again, I'm voting yes.
You voted yes. Wow.
Action item C, FEMA project PW189, purchase of dredge. Travis?
Okay. So in April of 2021, Jack gave us a presentation on electric dredges. EMC and port staff, we have looked at and reviewed different types of hydraulic dredges, electric dredges. EMC recommended the DRP 120 for the Port of Brookings Harbor, which is attached in your meeting packet, which is a drag flow equipment. EMC and port staff reviewed the options and recommended the additional listed options. Jack has also given us a letter, the one that is given to you on your table here. The exact same letter that's in here for the exception of the ending, the conclusion, which is him giving a spelled out reason why this is the dredge for us. Taking into consideration the maintenance, having an affordable dredging program, minimal and equipment that it can be handled by the port. We, like I said, we reviewed a lot of these different types of dredges. This is on the smaller, it's a smaller, reasonable dredge that'll get the job we need to do done, but will be extremely adequate for the port in the future and dredging other areas. Is there any questions regarding this?
Well, I said the same thing.
Go ahead.
Okay, question one. Where's the waste going for that stuff?
In the sediment storage area located next to the fuel tanks that we will be building shortly. Okay. It will be, we have 38,000 cubic yards to get out. All these factors are why we're choosing this dredge. There's nowhere on this port to put 38,000 cubic yards at once. So we do have to take this reasonable chunks down. So we will be creating a settling pond for the material to dry out. It'll be out of concrete blocks. It should be not completely horrendous to the eye. It will allow us to pump into it, let the material dry, and then push it over so it can be loaded out and taken off of port property.
Where is it going to eventually wind up?
What is it going to, well, if we keep this dredging, we have a complete maintenance dredging program, we're going to keep it there so the port has a viable way to dredge our port.
Don't talk about the weight. What happens to it? You know, a little weight where?
There's multiple different things that we're considering in our budget throughout our project. We are budgeted and prepared to pay for every yard of it to be hauled off. Is what our hopes is that there might be a reduced rate or some kind of agreement that can be made with concrete plants. Other things I've been hearing about is arenas, Gold Beach, Crescent City, their fairgrounds, they used to take the dredge spoils from there all the time to use in the arenas. So that bill, as far as I'm concerned, if somebody wants any of it, come on down.
Come on, figures.
We'll load it as long as it goes. So whatever throughout the process and what we have, we will be using the most cost-effective way to get rid of it. But at the end of the day, if we're still left with a pile and a new season's coming, we are prepared to pay for all of it to be hauled off.
Gary,
do we have a price on what this dredge is costing?
Yep.
Yes. With parts, pieces, extra... spare parts, which I put in here for you guys, includes training, them coming here, an upgrade for a jet ring, there's a GPS, the cable, everything that we need for the dredge aside from the pipe, all the pipe. I am getting 300 feet of drag flow pipe, which is a very flexible 8-inch pipe that allows the dredge to move back and forth instead of being attached to just one rigid pipe, which is very difficult for this dredge. The total price for that is $406,806.70.
That's with the dredge?
That is the dredge with
the pipe.
Parts, pieces, training, GPS, comes with a computer. Of the cameras, we upgraded the winches to have more winch cable on them. Everything included for what this dredge is. Now, it's not the generator. The generator, we're still doing work on that, but the generator has been refined more and more that I think we're going to find a generator for about $100,000 instead of in the $150,000 or $200,000 that we were first quoted on. So that's still yet to come, but this dredge and for this will be $406,806.70.
Does that need to be in the motion or not to exceed amount, or that you have to have approval again if you exceed the amount, or?
It's part of FEMA.
So it's all part of FEMA. We already have it as it is. I'm asking for approval to do this. The freight estimate is an estimate. But right now with them saying it's probably 20, they said 17,000 for freight 2 years ago. So I went with 20,000 on this. So I think everything's relatively close and done, but these prices do vary. As the longer we wait, the more expensive things get also. So just right now for any other, anything extra that comes up on top of this, obviously, we will purchase things as needed, but I will bring it back to the port just like everything else to show what we've been purchasing and why.
Cost to the port? No cost to the port to buy this? We're getting it through FEMA?
Yes, we're getting it through FEMA.
Yep. That's surprising.
What's the, how long is the delivery?
12 to 14 weeks.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
And just so everybody's under there, you know, they can kind of put themselves, this year we probably will not be dredging with it. We might have it in the water and play around with it a little bit, but it's going to be really tight. I think we're going to be dredging this year. So the first part of our dredging that we're going to be doing, the first amount of material we're getting out is from the clamshell dredge down by the boatyard. So that material coming out will be credited towards our project.
Well, that's a good start.
It's a needed start.
Yes.
How often do you think you'll be using that thing?
The dredge?
Yeah.
We figured on about three days a week, pending weather, maybe 4 days a week that we'll actually be dredging through. The in-water work period is October 15th through February 15th or March 1st, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, we have a lot of material to get out, so any available time we can be dredging once we're up and running.
That'd be once a year?
Once a year for the next 4.5 years will be our FEMA project, with a goal of getting about 8,000 to 10,000 cubic yards out a year. And then after the project's over, we should be well diverse with it and be able to do our maintenance dredging for the port, which our average tolling amount is about 4,000 cubic yards a year. And once we get this material out, there's still 120,000 cubic yards that still need to come out of our port just for everything to be at depth. So there's plenty of work ahead of that thing for it.
Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I asked the question of Travis first. Are there other ports in Oregon that own a dredge that you know of?
Coos Bay currently operates the State of Oregon dredge, the dredge that the State of Oregon bought.
Right. My point is that there
aware of any other port that has their own dredge.
Nor am I. And my point to this is that leveraging FEMA money to buy a dredge puts the Port of Brookings Harbor in a pretty unique position to be able to take care of itself in terms of in-basin dredging for the foreseeable future. Having said that, I don't want to leave the impression with folks that because FEMA buys it, it doesn't cost the port anything. Once we acquire that dredge, we'll be responsible for the maintenance, so that will become a baseline element in our budget in the future, is to provide maintenance expenses to keep the dredge in operating condition. So what I'm saying here basically is this is a significant improvement for the port for the future, and that we are fortunate to be able to take advantage of the FEMA funding for this.
All right. Go ahead, Dan.
So Travis, looking through the packet, and the pictures that were available online in the packet, this is a free floating dredge that no one will be walking upon when it's in operation.
Right. It's a remote control.
So last month you were talking that you were needing a boat or whatever to carry it. I take it now this is a contained in itself. We don't need a boat to help support the pipe or the dredge head or nothing else.
No, not the dredge head or anything like that. That is a completely, the only thing we're going to really be needing a boat for is moving the dredge from A to B, moving ourselves out to the dredge if there's a plug up or something along that line. I'm not, the boat I've kind of taken off the table right now until I kind of go through a year first to see if I can make our current work boat work. And I've been kind of moving and doing a lot of Google Map searches of where I can put the pipe, which might not require me to need a new boat to do that.
Well, that was my next question. Is this pipe will be, when the dredge is in the water and the pipe will be submerged underneath the water, won't be floating, and won't interfere with boat traffic?
Like I said, what I've been looking at is that the pipe will be coming down the bank where it goes in between, you know, in between docks. So I'm going to try everything I can not to cross that channel. We should have enough pipe to reach from the Coast Guard, down that bank, around the boatyard, and all the way back up to the dredge disposal area, just so we're not cutting off any channels.
Oh, okay, so this won't be like when we had the Oregon dredge, or whatever we're calling the one that Coosby operates, where we had a pipe that laid on the water. This pipe will be completely on the ground, above the surface, around the port, on basically the roadways, for lack of a better way to put it.
Most of the pipe is going to be between the dock and the bank. Okay. I'm going to keep it in between there.
So you're not in the channel to worry about
it. I can't say that it's not going to be, but I'm doing everything that I can to not go through that headache of having it impeding boats.
It's basically from the dredge to the bank is where we have to be concerned about for boats. Okay.
There will be a section, you know, whoever's on both sides of where we're dredging in between there, those boats will all be obviously notified and given a chance to move, or at least told when we're going to be working and how long to expect possibly difficult times getting out.
Is that me using the dredge on the sport end of it too?
Yep. Okay. Yep, we'll be doing dredging in both basins.
Okay, so we're going to transport the spoils over. We have to transport spoils down to the place it's going to go to, huh?
No, the pipe's going to do that. About 2,100 feet.
Okay.
There is a chance that we can get farther. It's just going to depend on head, how much head this thing has to climb, that we might be able to get even a little bit farther than that.
Yeah. Okay.
So you will have to put in a ramp to go down towards the Hallmark fuel dock to go over that pipe then.
Yeah, I'm going to use some of our leftover steel I-beams that we have and create a truck ramp. The pipe's 8 inches, so it won't be a
speed bump.
It'll be a speed bump. Yep. We're going to make a speed bump for it.
Okay.
Okay. Ready for a motion?
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve the port manager to purchase the DRP-120 with listed options for FEMA project PW-189 dredging.
Second.
Now we got a motion from Sharon and a second from Larry. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Okay. Action item D, resolution number 2023-07, reserve fund loan to capital projects.
Okay, so I should have done this one first. Do you want to take a recess?
Yeah, okay, we'll take a recess. Take me a second, man.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Go.
I can kind of keep going with this. So yes, I've kind of already discussed maybe the need for a reserve fund loan to purchase all this equipment. like I said, FEMA is at least 90 days out from reimbursements. And without taking this basically loan from reserve fund, it's going to just prolong the amount of time that it's going to take for us to get reimbursed and then be able to reuse that money to make another purchase. So what I'm asking for is to move $300,000 from the reserve fund to capital projects, and that will give us approximately $500,000 of cash flow for purchasing this equipment back and forth, and we will have this money paid back to the reserve fund and back in it before the end of the fiscal year. So that we talked with our attorney, we talked with Jerry, the financial consultant, and there's no need for a repayment loan process or interest on this. And because we have already budgeted for the capital projects to expend the money, there won't need to be a need for a supplemental budget to do this.
Oh, so it's an in-house type loan, I understand. The only question is if something unforeseen happens and we can't pay it back within the allotted time, does it cause any trouble?
Well, we're going to have to do another resolution explaining why, and then it will be made up with in a supplemental budget where we will actually have to create a repayment schedule that probably will include interest back to the reserve fund. So it doesn't paint us into a corner that we can't get out of. It's just currently, I hope to have everything all purchased by February. And then get our final reimbursements. I hope to have this repaid even before then, but my drop dead date is the end of the fiscal year, so we just need to, you know, stick with the plan and you know, get what we need bought and then give the money, put the money back.
Okay. Any other questions?
You good, Richard?
How about you, Richard?
I have no question. You have a question for me.
Okay.
So, the interest issue was brought up, and Travis, in the packet, you included ORS 294486, loans from one fund to another. If you scroll down through there under item one, what the hell is it, A or whatever the hell it is, it says the rate of return on Oregon on money invested in investment capital investment pool under ORS 294, blah blah blah. And reported under another one, it says immediately prior to the adoption of the ordinance resolution, it says, and then it goes such into other rates as a governing body may. So you're saying that you're taking it upon you not to charge yourself interest according to the Oregon law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Ready for a motion?
I am.
Okay.
Motion to approve resolution 2023-07, loaning $300,000 from reserve fund to capital projects for the FEMA equipment purchase. After equipment is purchased and reimbursements are received from FEMA, capital projects will be reimbursed $300,000 to the port reserve fund.
Second. Okay, we have a motion from Sharon and a second from Larry. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Okay. Information item A, FEMA project PW189. Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome.
Okay,
so this just goes with the prior approval for purchasing equipment for the FEMA project under $150,000. Everything attached in here is the procurements for a tractor with a Gannon box for the use of moving material during our dredge project. We looked at CAT, John Deere, and Case, all very comparable pieces of equipment. Ultimately, Case was Sun's Ray Machinery, who provided the case equipment, came in at $110,388.31. It does come with a 5-year, 5,000-hour bumper-to-bumper warranty. And we did, it's called Sourcewell for government discounts on that, and that was applied on all these quotes. And all the quotes are attached with it just for review and comparisons that show that we are getting and looking at like-kind equipment. But ultimately, the low price is what we went with. Thank you. And we did look at rental rates. One of the things with FEMA and buying equipment is to choose the lowest cost option. Rental rates were twice what it cost to buy one. It was a needed process, but it does prove that we're going with the least cost option.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Do you have the employees to operate it?
Yeah.
Okay, action. Information item B, FEMA project PW189. First is a concrete block.
So this is for the FEMA project. This is for the settling disposal site. In the past, when we built one out of plywood and dirt. It did work, but long-term wise, it would be questionable. So for the long-term of this, we're going to use the bigger concrete blocks stacked up too high, just to ensure that the stability and any blowouts are minimized as much as possible. Go ahead.
Is that going to be lined then in any way, or just?
There will be a liner that is countersunk about halfway through it to help from the top down and then dug in, so, and then dirt put over the top of that. Where the whole pond will essentially be a dirt mount, but it'll be backed up by the concrete blocks. And they put it in here with it. Tidewater Contractors provided us with a quote. The next two closest suppliers were Rogue Valley Precast and Ultra Block, who came in significantly higher, all basically due to shipping.
Okay. Commissioner's comments. Ready?
I'd just like to thank staff, court staff. I mean, they just constantly show that they're dedicated, they do hard work, thorough work, they check everything, double check everything, provide me with everything I need, and I just want to say thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, they're doing an excellent job. How about you, Richard?
I have no comment other than it's hot in Central Oregon, 97.
$197.
Who told you to go there?
All right.
Who told me to go here at the 46 degree night?
Okay, next regular meeting will be Wednesday, August 16th, 2023 at 2 p.m. This meeting's adjourned.
Bye.